about to start, and yay, nobody's paying attention to us, but I love you, Tracy.
I love you, too.
Cheers.
From day one.
Joe and Jeremy show, mildly featuring Peter Murphy, and now no longer featuring Jeremy at all, but also featuring Beck, sort of. We continue to add to the fun that we have here tonight. This evening, we've got Act Like a Girl podcast. Tracy Walker, Susie Dunn, with a special musical guest. I'll let them do the rest of the intros. Without further ado, please welcome the Act Like a Girl podcast.
Silver screen in a world with less available roles to us. This industry can be so mean, so we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can do, so act like a girl. We're here to support you. Yeah.
Okay, hi guys. Welcome to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. You have Susie Dunn
and Tracy Walker,
and we are here with
Kira Morrison.
Yes. So Kira wrote our theme song that you just heard. That was the theme song.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
So thank you. We'll co-wrote with Susie.
Yeah. But really, I just shouted ideas at her, and then she made it all make sense. So,
yay!
Kira's amazing. amazing. So today, Tracy and I wanted to talk with Kira and all of you about how to be better intersectional feminists. That's kind of the topic for today. So when I was looking up intersectional feminism, getting ready for today, I googled intersectional feminist, obviously, and Urban Dictionary told me that an intersectional feminist means that she's a feminist, or they are a feminist, that believes in equality through everything, like race, gender, religion, all that, that everything is just as important as the other thing. And then the second definition of intersectional feminist was a feminist who stands in intersections shouts her beliefs.
I think that's for sure the more accurate one, right? I do that almost every day.
All the time. Yeah.
I find myself in intersections.
It is more accurate. Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to start by talking about what does intersectional feminism mean to you?
Like you said before, you can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. You have to also include class, gender, racial, ethnic. I have a problem saying that word. Ethnicity. Yeah. I shouldn't have a problem. And everything is included. So it broadens the scope, and it's not just, a lot of people think for white feminists.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kira?
To me, I think intersectional feminism means feminism for everyone and not just yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good general way to say it. Okay, let's talk about Kira for a second.
Okay.
So tell us, who are you? What do you do?
I am a musician. I'm a singer-songwriter. And I'm studying, getting my bachelor's in music with a vocal emphasis, so I work a lot in singing live, singing on recordings, and also arranging things for vocalists and instrumentalists. That's what I do.
She's really smart, you guys.
Yeah. Deep into the music.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Deep in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you have a time where you became a feminist,
Ooh, wow. I can't remember one specific moment where I just suddenly was filled with feminist fire. When I was younger, I feel I didn't really understand that whole world. I just wasn't in the headspace to understand it. If I was 10 years old, I'm what are issues? What? But I think kind of getting into more like middle school, high school, and I started realizing the issues that were present in society and experiencing sexism. You know, like, I went to high school in Hollywood at Hollywood High, and so, you know, when you're in there, you know, you're just, like, getting catcalls and stuff as, like, a 14-year-old girl, and it's like, what? Like, how is this happening? You know, and I think it was, one, like, experiencing it for myself, and also, you know, like, being more aware of, like, what's happening in the news and things like that, and actually seeing all these things happening, not only in my city, but the whole country and the entire world, and it kind of just became this, like, wave on me, like, whoa, there's a lot of shit going on, you know? And I actually, in my senior year, we had to do this big senior project where you write, like, a 15-page research paper and you do this whole PowerPoint, and I did mine on rape culture in the media. That was, like, the same time when, like, Blurred Lines was coming out. I was 17.
Cool.
And I mean, I definitely was, like, mad about everything and, like, the issues that were going on, but, like, once I really started, like, researching, like, deeply, like, it was intense. Like, I had never worked so hard on something in my life, like, not even, like, my musicals or whatever.
I feel like it's one of those things when you start, like, reading about rape culture, you just, like, get angrier and angrier, and then that fuels your research.
Exactly, and then you just keep reading, and you're like, but I don't want to, but, like, I need to, and, like, it was just, I was reading all the books and, like, all these articles and just putting everything together, and, like, it's just so awful because you just, like, you know that it's fucked up, but you don't realize, like, how immersed it is in society, right, and, like, how many things that even you have, like, kind of not even noticed about culture, and been like, oh, fuck, like, that's problematic, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very, that was a very eye-opening time for me when I really dug deeper into that subject, and I still got those dudes in my class who were like, you know, she just thinks that, like, all women's problems come from men, or blah, 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 and I'm like, did you listen to anything I was saying? Like,
yeah.
It's more than that, but yeah, I think probably during high school is when I started becoming more prominently a feminist.
That's amazing.
Thanks, Kim.
So the cat calls did it.
The cat calls started it. It did. We've all experienced it. Yeah.
When do you think you became an intersectional feminist? Like, not just a feminist, like, like an actual, like, being like, oh, yeah, this affects this, this needs to be with, you know, like, all these things can't happen unless everything happens at once. Right. When do you think, like, was there an incident for you?
I think just on a broad scale as being a comedian when I became a comedian, because I really felt, you know, like, I wasn't equal. Because I always felt equal to guys, because I used to play football with guys, and I was like, just tough. And then when I became a comedian, I was put in my place. You know, it's like, yeah, don't do this, don't tell
your
age. Why are you wearing that? You know, you had to dress down. So I was like, wow. You know, I felt like I was less empowered, and I got into comedy to empower myself and other women.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of basically it for me, and then that made me look at everything else happening around the world, too.
By the way, audience, if anybody wants to jump in and, like, talk about how they found intersectional feminism or their thoughts on we totally want you to, like, hop in at any point. So just, like, pop up. We'll give you a mic. Don't be shy. Come talk to us. Ask us questions.
Yeah.
We want to help you. Yeah, we want to, like, help you understand this more.
Please, I'll just write a mini theme song for, like, every sentence that comes
out of your mouth.
Keep
noodling.
Intersectional feminism. When did it start for you? It started for me too. I'm amazing.
Okay, so I feel like this has been so important in media lately because we're just, like, seeing everything come crumbling to the ground right now. Like, everything is just, like, falling apart. And, like, I think, yeah, I think, like, understanding that if you want to say that there can't be a Muslim ban, then you have to say that cops need to stop killing black men. And if you want to say that, you know, women should be able to choose what they do with their bodies, then you have to also say that transgender people should be able to choose what they want to do with their
mm-hmm.
bodies.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I feel like this has been a really important movement right now.
But what was your...
what was mine?
Yeah, what was your pivotal point when you became intersectional?
I think I have, like... I have this really, like, lucky gift, kind of, that I had. Because I have dyslexia, and I have, like, really severe dyslexia, so... Growing up in school, I was given a lot of extra help, so I was, like, taken out of classes and had a lot of teacher's aides and stuff. And then when I got to high school, that program kind of wasn't what it was in the junior high part of my district. So I ended up being in classes with people who were mentally, like, actually had, like, were mentally challenged and had, like, Down syndrome and all these things. And so I was, like, interacting with kids who were so different than me, like, every day, and interacting with people who just, like, didn't have what I had just because of their disability. And so I think just, like, knowing those people every day, all the time, being around them, growing up next to them, just made me realize that, like, the only reason that I get what I get is because I look the way that I look, or because I'm come from what I come from, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with anything else. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, having that base in childhood was kind of gave me a gift to have that then in adulthood.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel lucky about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it also makes you very relatable.
Makes me a human rather than a monster.
I mean, yeah.
It's an intense way to say it.
Yeah. But, Could have gone like one way or the other.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This whole time I've assumed you were a human, and now I know that.
There's a monster in there. Like, it's in there. I keep calm down.
Give it enough chocolate, and everything's fine.
Well, that's why you're woke as fuck, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you grew up with that. You actually were in classrooms with, like, crazy people. Every day.
I wouldn't say crazy.
That was your every day.
I mean, you know? I'm crazy.
I know.
She was the crazy person.
I mean, you were able to say, "Nah, that's not crazy. I know crazy." You know, so it woke you up a bit. You know.
I think it just, like. Like I said, it just, like, made me aware of, like, privilege is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, privilege is a construct of society that's, like, made up. Mm-hmm. And I just pretty quickly realized that, like, I'm not going to subscribe to said privilege. Yeah. I'm just, like, not here for it. And now it's, like, I think for me anyway, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I feel like intersectionality has, like, helped me weed out people. Very quickly in my life, like, I'm just like,
so you're for this, but you're not for that.
Especially with dating, like, immediately, like, it's just now it's to the point where, like, when you say something that's like, I'm like, bye, not getting this pussy anymore.
Yes.
Deal breaker.
I went from a waterfall to the Sahara, so. Okay, wait, does anybody have anything to say?
Any questions?
Come ask us a question.
No one? What? Okay, come get the mic,
Get on that mic.
Tell us your name.
Sam.
Sam, nice to meet
you. I just have a question.
What's up?
It's a theory, maybe it's not true or not. You think people who grow up with a household, at least men who grow up with a household of women, tend to be more in touch with feminism and their feminine side versus someone who maybe hasn't grown up with a lot of women in their house?
I mean, I definitely think so. What?
That's it?
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to keep talking?
Oh, sure.
So we can be a discussion.
I'm so sorry.
No. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, what's your family dynamic?
Just me and my dad. We're
just
the
you
only
and
guys.
Dad.
I mean, even the dogs were female in our house.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just me and I think it has made it. I think it really did make a difference.
It did make it harder. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, because I think about somebody, and it's like, oh, that could be my sister, that could be my mom,
mm-hmm.
and it just, you know, drives it home a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have a hard time with the could be my sister or could be my mom thing. Karama, what's up? only because, like, I think part of being a part of the human condition is, like, you should just be able to see humans as humans, and it shouldn't matter whether you're connected to them by blood or what. But I do think that it would be harder to not grow up in a house with women. I come from a home where the woman was definitely, like, the head of the household in a certain way. My father was, like, the financial head, but my mom, you know, she was very much, like, the personality head of the house. And I think, yeah, having her definitely gave me, and I know your mom was mm-hmm. really strong.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's, like, both ways, not just my mom, my sister, but I'm right. also. Like humanity thing all
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I don't want us to come off sounding like a complete monster.
No. We already established that I'm a monster. It's fine. We're all monsters here. yeah. I mean, what do you think, Kira?
I think it can definitely help. I mean, I'm sure there are, like, you know, outlier cases. But, I mean, like, my boyfriend, like, he grew up in a house with, like, three sisters and his mom and everything. And I think it really definitely does affect, like, your perspective on it, because I mean, yeah. you see the struggles that they go through, and I mean, even just like day to day things of being a woman, whether it's mm-hmm. like having your period, yeah. or I mean, you're like around it up close. It's not just some like right. weird right. far away thing. Like yeah. that's a lady thing. Yeah. Like, you know, you yeah. see it happening, and you have to deal with it with that person.
Especially if you share a bathroom with that person.
Right. Right.
Yeah. yeah. So I think like it I definitely does yeah. have an impact on. Yeah. Like, you know, the way you see women or, like, identify
yeah,
with what they go
yeah, I think it's easier to
through.
Access.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I think, like, the way to then get around that is to just, like, realize that it's your responsibility to, like, not make that a difference. Like, if you did grow up in a house with men and brothers, that's not really an excuse. I mean, it's definitely, yeah. like, a thing to think about, but, like, you have to do your research. I mean, I grew up in a completely yeah. white household, and I don't sit here and say, like, I don't know what happened with black community, or I don't know what happened with, like
what,
you know,
privilege?
Like, yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I do I the fucking privilege. Research, yeah. you know? I think
I'm
that's...
colorblind. I don't see color.
I don't see color. I don't see color.
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's, like... I mean, for me, the thing about intersectionality is that I believe that that's the way to world peace, yeah. which is stupid. I know that's, like, so bullshit to say, but it's true. Yeah. Like, I think the more that you can educate yourself, outside of what you come from, outside of what you experience, I think every step that you take to do that, you're getting closer to making the human experience for everyone better.
Exactly. I think exposure, too.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in Atlanta, and I don't know if you've been to Atlanta, but Atlanta's like the blackest place outside of Africa. So I was very sheltered, you know. So
in the other way. Yeah.
yeah, in the other way. And I didn't have white friends or anything like that until I came out here. And so I learned so much, you know, about the white culture, Asians, Latinos. So I always think it's... Because I just don't think that it holds up... Racism holds up to exposure.
Yeah, you know? I think so too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would agree with that completely.
Yeah.
And I think you grew up in a culture where you were exposed to... You
yes,
went to fucking Hollywood High.
Yeah, and I mean, even just at home, I'm biracial. I'm half Japanese and half white. But my mom and her siblings, they were born here. And my... grandmother, she was actually in the internment camps here in the U.S. And it's just been an interesting journey, like, finding my identity within these two, like, halves of my ethnicity, you know, because on one side there's so much struggle and so much hardship and, like, so much cultural significance, you know, and then there's this other side that's, like, super privileged and, like, everything's great, you know, and, like, I definitely, even though I'm half Asian, I still have a lot of privilege because I do look pretty white. I yeah. mean, a lot of people can tell that I'm somewhat Asian, but, like, I'm definitely white passing.
Do you get the what yeah. are you question a lot?
Oh my god, yeah. Even my dudes who are, like, trying to hit on me, and I'm like, that's your, like, pickup line question? Like, hey, what are you? Like, so,
an alien.
Yeah, it's been interesting, and I think it's kind of trying to learn about both cultures and how they affect me and affect my privilege and affect my family, you know, and like, even though I've grown up in like a very like Western household and I've always lived in LA and lived in the Valley and everything's great, you know, I still have to learn about, you know, like the cultural significance of my Japanese roots and what my family has gone through, you know, to make it to this point. So I think it's an interesting balance of privilege if you're like half a person of color and then half a white person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Especially if you're being raised by both cultures in the, yeah. like, you know,
mm-hmm.
definitely. Wait, so do you, how does your grandma feel about every, like?
My grandma just passed away. I'm not trying to make you feel like a dick for asking that question. Like, it's totally fine.
I mean, grandparents die. Yeah. It's what they do.
Yeah. The classic grandparents dying and all. Am I right, guys? Sorry, you can finish your question.
Did you ever ask her, though, like, how does she feel about, like, coming out of that and, like, being having to still live in this society that, like, did that to her?
Honestly, she really did not like to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, like, which does make sense, but, you know, I'm sure there's, like, so many stories that she had inside of her, but, you know, I didn't want to, like, be like, hey, tell me about that one time where you were racially segregated, right? I mean, but I kind of just, you know, learned about it through the history books and, you know, through what my mom told me and what the rest of my family told me and knew about it. But I mean, as far as like, I don't, my mom like marrying a white guy or whatever, I mean, she was cool with it. She just wasn't a very talkative person. I mean, she was very positive and loving and caring, you know, no matter whose home she was in. And I mean, she built a long life in the U.S.
Right.
Even after all that had happened and raised her family here. She had her home in South Central, actually. My mom grew up in South Central, everyone, all of her siblings. And I think she probably would still really identify as being like someone who lives in Los Angeles and lives in America, you know, because we all identify as Japanese American.
Right.
You know, because we're not just Asian, we're like American too.
Right.
Yeah.
When did you start doing music? Really young, right?
Around like 10 years old, I like started taking guitar lessons and stuff like that. And then I got into singing in middle school and did choir. And then kind of at the end of middle school, I was like, whoa, I really love this. Like, I want to do this forever. And so I got to high school and I just like threw myself into it. And I was doing like all the musicals and I was in two choirs and I was trying to write my own songs and everything. And that's when things really started taking off for me. Not like I was super successful and I'm already doing a record deal, but I kind of just really realized my passion for music and that I would do anything to like keep doing music forever. And luckily, I mean, I had a really supportive family who supported me going into the arts. And here I am today, I'm studying in college, and I'm super happy.
Yeah. What made you want to, like, take the really artistic side of it? You're not, like, trying to seek, like, big fame, obviously, like, going on to America's Got Talent. You're not, you know, like a pop diva. Because, I mean, you're beautiful. You have the looks. You have the talent.
Oh, thank you.
What makes you?
I mean, I do. My main goal is becoming, like, a pop recording artist, like Taylor Swift or Lady Gaga or that kind of thing. But I guess the reality show aspect the competition. I mean, I'm not like judging anyone who's doing that or becoming successful off of that, because I mean, they did it and that's cool, but I guess that's not really the way that I wanted to take that path. And I felt that I could learn a lot more, like, you know, going to college for it and, you know, learning all these different aspects of music, you know, because before I started, you know, I could like play guitar and do the singing thing, but I didn't really know about what else was out there. You know, I had never really sung any other genres or like tried to play other instruments. So it kind of just opened up this whole new world to me, and like now I like singing jazz and like arranging things, and I can like actually write sheet music. So I think, I mean,
you have more to offer.
Yeah, the education has like really broadened my toolbox and also like affected my identity as an artist and who I want to become and what I want to put out there with my music.
Okay, well, on that note, we have to do our outro. And then Kira's going to play one of her songs as we're breaking down so you guys can hear that. So thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. this has been the Act Like a Girl podcast with Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And Kira Morrison.
And as always, like us on Facebook.
Twitter.
Instagram.
Actlikeagirl.tv.
Yeah, get reach out to us on the Get Involved page. Thank you guys. You were such a great audience.
Thank you.
Where?